Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you can believe it, next week marks 9 years that my family and I have been here with you at St. John's. And thinking about what it was like 9 years ago when we first came here, I remember some of the first thoughts and emotions that I had. I noticed that many things were similar here at St. John's to the way that they were in our congregation out in New York. Things like a whole bunch of really kind people, a very welcoming atmosphere, a large number of volunteers that were ready to go at any point. And I saw the love of Jesus and love for each other in both the congregation out there and the congregation here. But there were a few things that were a little different between that congregation and this one. For instance, one of the glaring differences was this. Out in New York, whether it was Saturday night or Sunday morning, when people would sing, this is what they looked like. People would all stand up and people had their hands in the air. When I would turn around, I'd just see people with their eyes closed and hands up in the air. And sometimes I had to go look at the sign to make sure that it was a Lutheran church. But when I got here, I went, oh yeah, this is a Lutheran church. And I found something that looked a little bit more like this. Now, neither one is good or bad. It's just a difference of culture there. And I can tell you over the last couple of years, especially since Noah has gotten here, that people have become just a little bit more demonstrative in their worship, most notably on Saturday nights, but both on Saturday and on Sunday. And maybe you've been to a church service where people have had their hands up, their eyes closed, maybe someone saying amen in the congregation. And maybe when you see that kind of all around you, maybe you feel like this guy in the middle. Everybody else has got their hands up, and I don't know. I was trying to look at this guy this week and try to figure out, what is that guy thinking? Is he just not a big fan of putting hands up and being demonstrative? Or maybe it's something just totally different. Maybe he has no problem with it whatsoever. It's just that for whatever reason, he's got some other things on his mind while everybody else is worshiping and praising the Lord. And when I saw this picture, I thought, I wonder what are the top things that people think about that maybe they shouldn't be thinking about while everybody else is worshiping and praising Jesus. And I found this online this week. I thought it was pretty good. These are the top 9 things that people think about in church while others are busy singing to the Lord. See if any of these you've thought about during our time of singing. Number 1. Did I turn the pot roast before I left? Maybe you've been there. How about this? Did I turn the iron off before I left? Or this one, where are my car keys? Maybe you think this, will the person behind me ever hit the right note? If that's a thought that you had this morning, please don't turn around right now. This is probably appropriate for the 10:30 service. Only 90 minutes until kickoff. Maybe that's what you're thinking while everybody else is worshiping. How about this one? What are the chances that one of these lights fall down and hit me in the head? Maybe you weren't thinking about it then, but you are now, right? Maybe if you're sitting in the back, you're thinking this. How many people have lost more hair than I have? I wonder if there are any donuts left in the church kitchen after fellowship. Or maybe this one you've thought of. How many verses of this hymn are we going to sing? Well, these are all kind of funny. And if you're honest, probably all of us have thought one or two of these things, haven't we? Well, as we're concluding our sermon series, Made for Community, God's plan, not just for me, but God's plan for us, we're going to be talking about worshiping and praising our Lord through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, why do I use those words, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Because actually, we find that twice in the Bible. One of those places is in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another," and here it is, "in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There are two places in the Bible where we see this, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, here in Ephesians 5 and then also in Colossians 3. But today we're going to just look at this one from Ephesians 5. Let's break it down. First of all, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." Now, I remember when I first looked at this passage and started studying it, I thought, how curious that it would put these two things as opposed to one another. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I started asking, what do those two things have in common? And actually, they've got a lot in common. Both of them are decisions that you and I make. Obviously, if you're going to drink too much, that's a decision that we make. Also, because Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's also a decision that we make as well. Secondly, both are influenced by spirits, right? To be filled with the Holy Spirit is obviously the Holy Spirit of God filling you. But to be filled with alcohol is also to be filled with spirits as well, isn't it? Sometimes I think the world out there gets it a little bit better than we do inside the church. But if you drive past a place that sells alcohol, what does it say? Wine and spirits. The world understands that when you're under the influence of alcohol, you're under the influence of not just a drug, but you're under the influence of another spirit, and it's usually a spirit that isn't good, right? Thirdly, both are surrendering yourself to something or someone. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're saying, Holy Spirit, you can take me and use me for whatever you want to do. I'm surrendering myself to you. When we are under the influence of alcohol, we're saying the same thing. We know what's going to happen if we drink too much, right? We know what's going to happen. It's like we're surrendering ourselves to something else. Both affect the way that we think or feel, whether it's the Holy Spirit or another spirit. And unfortunately, both affect not only us, but also those around us as well. And so that's why he's saying, don't be filled with this. Instead, be filled with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, maybe you're out there thinking, wait a minute. Why is he telling a bunch of Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I thought I already had the Holy Spirit. And if you're thinking that here today, I just want to commend you. You are right. You do have the Holy Spirit already. In fact, the Bible is crystal clear on that. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord and believe it except if they have the Holy Spirit. So if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is evidence and all the evidence that you need that you do have the Holy Spirit, because you could never say that and believe it if you didn't. Secondly, it says in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you've been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So if you believe in Jesus and you've been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit. Then why is he saying be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, to answer that question, I want to quote, actually, Bill's brother-in-law and one of my mentors, Reverend Del Rosine, who always would say this, the Holy Spirit is resident in every believer, but it's his goal, what he wants, is to be president. Not just resident, but president. If you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But what the Holy Spirit is looking for and waiting for out of each one of us is to say, Holy Spirit, I just don't want you to be resident in me. I want to give my whole self to you. I love the analogy of pouring water into a glass. If you can imagine pouring a little bit of water into the bottom of a glass, that's like having the Holy Spirit. But when we say to him, I want you to have all of me, it's like pouring the Holy Spirit to overflow and just keep on overflowing so that it not only fills me, but it affects everybody around me as well. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's our very important point of the day. It's not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have. It's not like if I say, Holy Spirit, fill me. It's like I'm getting more of the Holy Spirit. No, the whole Holy Spirit, the whole third person of the triune God is inside of you when you are baptized and when you begin to believe. It's not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have. Rather, it's how much does the Holy Spirit have of me? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you say to him, I'm yours. Fill me up. Fill up my mind. Fill up my emotions. Fill up my spirit. Every part of me that I can have intimacy with you, Lord. Since that's the Holy Spirit's goal, the question is, well, how do I get that then? How do I get filled up with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible has a few different ways that it tells us. First of all, and none of these are rocket science. The first one is this. Just ask him. Say, God, I want you to fill me up. Look at what it says in Luke 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So all you have to do is ask him. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He's not like Satan. Satan pushes himself on us. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He waits to be asked. And so you say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're in me. Thank you that I believe in Jesus. Thank you that I'm saved because of that. But because of all that you've done for me, I'm asking you to just fill me up. Fill me to overflowing. My whole life is yours, Lord. I give it to you. Second way, ask other Christians to pray for you to be filled. In Acts chapter 8, it says, then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, these people that they were placing their hands on, they already believed in Jesus. That's why they were asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't have asked if they didn't already have the Holy Spirit. But what they were asking was, fill me. And so Peter and John came alongside them and laid their hands on them and prayed for them, with them, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can do the same thing as well. You can pray by yourself in the comfort of your own basement or in your living room, or you can ask a couple of Christians to pray with you and to lay hands on you and say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a third way that we're talking about here today. Sing unto the Lord. As we sing unto him with our hearts, and as we call out to him in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we get filled up with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Let's break those down. The first one is Psalms. How many of you love the Psalms? I love the Psalms. I love reading through the Psalms. Many of the Psalms were written by David, but there are a couple other authors as well. What are the Psalms? What's the blessing of the Psalms? Well, they are scripture set to music. Did you know that originally all of those Psalms had music that attended those? They help us to pray and praise God. And this is what I love about the Psalms the most. They are very relatable and help us see that what we are going through is not unique to us. No matter what you're going through, if you're having a good day, a bad day, you're struggling in faith, your faith is through the roof, it doesn't matter. You can find Psalms that apply to that. And many people throughout the years, including Noah, have put some Psalms to music. You can use those to fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. The Psalms usually say something like this: God, where are you? But I trust you because you're faithful, because you're good to your word. Psalms are awesome to help us to fill up with the Holy Spirit. And then we've got the second one there, hymns. Psalms are scripture set to music. Many of the hymns are our Christian theology set to music. They assist us in teaching us the faith. They are like little mini sermons or Bible lessons to engage our minds. As we said at the beginning of this service, how many verses are we going to sing of this song? Of this hymn, right? Sometimes we sing 6 or 7 verses. Why? Well, because hymns are written as kind of a musical sermon. They've got so many points of theology that are good for us to learn. It is supposed to engage our minds if we're not distracted thinking about other things. Most are sung about God and who He is. Things like, a mighty fortress is our God, right? Now, there are a few that speak to God, and some of those are actually my favorites. We're going to sing one at the end of the service, a hymn that is speaking to God. But most of them are speaking about God, engaging our minds. And our minds are supposed to be engaged. In Mark chapter 14, after Jesus and his disciples ate the Last Supper and he instituted what we know today as the Lord's Supper, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That's the word that is used here. So we don't know exactly what that hymn sounded like, but that's what they were doing. They were singing a hymn. They were engaging their minds. And then they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then all of the rest of that day and the next day began. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Originally, the church was not hundreds and hundreds of people. Churches met in individual homes, and so there were 10, 15, 20 people probably max in a church. And so when they would come together, each person was to bring something to engage all the others and strengthen the faith of all the others. And some people brought hymns, a hymn that maybe the person would sing, or a hymn that they could sing together or sing to one another. Other people would bring a word of instruction, or maybe they'd been praying and felt like God gave them a revelation to share, or a tongue or an interpretation. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were at work in these little life groups called the early church. So we have psalm, scripture set to music. We have hymns, theology set to music. And it says, use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, or songs from the Spirit. What are those? These are what I call testimony set to music. They help us in connecting with God. They engage our hearts primarily and our spirit-to-spirit communication. Most are sung to God, like the one that Kelly led just a little bit ago. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, right? That's what we're saying here with these spiritual songs. Hymns engage the mind. Spiritual songs engage the heart. The Bible tells us that we are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And so to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled in all of those areas. God loves it all. These spiritual songs, I think, are what primarily is being talked about in Ephesians 5, where it says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit, spirit-to-spirit communication, and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in the truth. God wants all of our worship to be centered around the truth of what He's told us about Himself. But He also wants us to engage with our hearts as well. Oftentimes when we're singing spiritual songs, you'll see people's hands up in the air, and they'll be saying things like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me. I saw this quote online from C.S. Lewis, the early 20th century theologian. He said, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it gets expressed. Oh, and I really relate to that. I think as Lutherans, because we know the gospel, we talk about it every single week, what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we think of what He went through so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with God that goes on into eternity, we're so thankful on the inside. But I think if there's one thing that we have to do a little better at, it's letting it out. Not only thinking how thankful I am to God, but then actually taking that next step and telling Him through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. The delight is incomplete until we have the opportunity to express it. In Revelation chapter 5, and one other time in the book of Revelation, it uses that same word for spiritual song there when it's talking about the people in heaven. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And they were singing these words to the Lord, probably with hands lifted up in spiritual songs. You say, well, I'm not real comfortable with that. It's what we're going to be doing when we get to heaven. We're going to be singing spiritual songs along with hymns and psalms to the Lord our God. We're going to be expressing ourselves to Him. So which of these is best? I guarantee you that every single one of us have, if it was our druthers, right, we know what one we would choose. Some may say, I love the hymns. Don't give me that repetitive stuff. Other people may say, the hymns are fine, but I love the praise and worship music. Which one's the best? And the answer is this. They're all good. In fact, not only are they all good, they're all biblical. In fact, He commands us to use all of them. He commands us to use all of them. He wants to engage every part of us, body, soul, and spirit, mind, and heart, in worship of Him. I was thinking about it just a few days ago as I was writing this message. Without even thinking, I use all three of these every day in my quiet time. In my quiet time every morning, the first thing I do is I open my hymn book and I sing through a hymn to the Lord. And then I open up my Bible app and I read passages from Scripture. So we've got hymns, psalms, so to speak, and then it's about time for coffee. And my wife is about ready to come on down and she's expecting coffee. And so I go into the kitchen and I start making coffee. But as I'm making coffee, I'm listening to praise and worship songs, psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And by the end of my morning, I've had a really great morning worshiping the Lord in all three of those ways. So with all this said, in Psalm 95, I think it says it best. It says, "Oh, come then, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And we're going to take just a few minutes here today to not just say the words, but then to do them as well. So I'd invite Noah to come forward, and he's going to lead us through a few songs. I'd invite you to rise if you're able.
You could take a second and grab your hymnal as well. We're going to start with hymn 528, O 4,000 Tongues to Sing. And what we're going to do is all seven verses. So buckle up. In the tradition of church, they didn't always do this, but oftentimes what they would do with these super long, many verse hymns is take turns singing the verses to get a chance to declare the gospel to one another, to hear it. It's important to be able to sit there and just listen to people singing the goodness of Jesus to you. So I encourage you to look at people across the way. So we're going to sing all the first verse together and last verse together, and then we're going to go east side and then west side, taking turns singing it. I'll shout it out. But I encourage you to look at each other and be like, in this moment together, because we are made for community, to be together in this moment, and not just church is not just a drive-through. So we're here to be together. And so blessings on the uncomfortableness of this. Try to enjoy it. So we'll start together. Oh, 4,000 tongues sing.
Oh, 4,000 tongues who sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
East side.
Who, my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, who spread through all the earth it brought the honors of Thy name.
West side.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our...
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.